Friday. Happy Friday, long weekend. Woot. Happy Memorial Day weekend. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang coming up in hour number three. That Jodi Arias killed my hit on CNN last night.
Oh,
now she is a bitch.
Yeah.
Now she should get
now?
The death penalty just for that.
Really? Not for the actual murder thing.
No.
For
I could stab her. I mean, really. Interruption of a great cocktail hour. Drive all the way over there. Hair and makeup. See, I'm getting better at these things than they are. I'm in hair and makeup when the news breaks that it was a hung jury and there's no verdict on the death penalty. And I'm like, I'm bumped. They're like, no. Everything's good. Hair and makeup, whole thing. Upstairs in my IFB, on my microphone, standing on my little box, waiting. And I'm like, tick tock. Steph, we're going to top the hour with this. I'm like, of course you are.
We just wanted to make you wait in makeup.
We just want to see if you do it. Ha! Okay.
Psych.
Nope. Now I hate her. Now she's really a jerk. Okay. It is, can I just say, such a confluence in that hair and makeup with the CNN headline news people and the regular us regular CNN political geeks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was somebody, I can't tell their names, but there's a lot of, I don't know what to say. Could be surgery. Could be maybe prettier.
Oh.
They're the Heathers. They're just a lot of, you know, hair and makeup. And she said, oh, yes, we have much lower, a lot more cleavage on headline news. They really got to bring it on the headline news. You can tell who's who. Anyway, they were all very exercised over the whole Jodi Arias thing.
I can, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's not the end of the world. They treat it like it is, though.
I don't, exactly. I thought Nancy Grace and Jane Gillies Mitchell were going to have a... They were going to open a wormhole in the universe, screaming, and good God. All right. There really are. There are two, like, universes of people in the country, like, what we pay attention to or what we care about.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't even know who she was until a couple of weeks ago.
Until you were sitting in hair and makeup.
Right. I'm like, right. Right, with Marcia Clark.
Yeah.
I'm like, she did it, right? And she's like, yes. She admitted she did it. I was like, oh, okay. So what's the situation?
That's more than Marcia Clark got out of O.J.
Oh, stop it. That's not true. Stupid jury.
Uh-huh.
All right. Apparently I'm rebooked tonight. We'll see.
On a holiday?
Unless Jodi Arias kills someone else.
On a holiday weekend?
Yeah.
Sheesh.
A loser.
Yeah,
I have to be... Because I made Newsbusters. I have to keep them happy. I know they're watching, no matter what.
Wait a minute. Which Newsbusters is this? Is this the one that came out this morning?
Oh, is there a new one? I wasn't even on last night. Yes.
Let's see if it's the same one.
Rehan slaps... He's the conservative guy that's on with me on the panel on Aaron Burnett. Rehan slaps down Stephanie Miller's hackish defensive wiener.
Okay, yeah, this is the one that...
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mostly just got in a lot of good jokes.
Yeah.
I don't think I really defended him. I made fun of him and sort of defended him a little.
You sort of defended... Is that what CNN told you to do?
No. Would you stop that? They don't tell me what to do. They ask me what I think, and then I tell them.
Okay.
Okay, on Wednesdays, Aaron Burnett out front, lefty radio host.
Lefty.
Yeah, nice to start with a pejorative.
Tried to be funny. All right, well. While downplaying Anthony Weiner's Twitter scandal is just an eighth-grade stunt and a guy thing. That's what I said. I said he wasn't really convicted of any actual infidelity of just being in eighth grade, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Which middle school did you go to, Stephanie? Conservative CNN contributor.
It wasn't middle school then. It was junior high school.
Right.
Yeah.
Shot her down. Yeah, that was a good one. Snap. Ow. Still bleeding from that. And host Aaron Burnett wouldn't have Miller's hackery either. I've got to say, Stephanie, I beg to differ with you. This is pretty bizarre. I don't think I said it wasn't bizarre. I just was saying it was a guy thing. I got to do my joke about how I don't think Hillary Clinton was sitting at the State Department going, who wants to see a picture of my foggy bottom?
I still don't think most guys do that.
No.
I really don't.
I don't know any women that do it. I'm just saying. Anyway, I don't know what Miller, the guy thing, blah, blah. And I said if his wife forgives him, I guess, whatever. Rest of us. Anyway. All right. So that was the whole... I don't know. Newsbusters kind of like slim pickings these days. They seem to be they're fluffing.
They
like me so much and they want to feature me so much. They're kind of fluffing.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Try to be funny.
They're my punditry fluffer.
Not.
All right.
Yeah. You sound like eighth grade. You're
right.
So not
no.
funny.
Nah, all right.
I fell off my dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Okay. Here's what is funny.
What?
The new internet thing. You know what I'm talking about. Cat bearding.
What? I don't know if I could get my cat to do this.
Yeah, probably not. Well, most cats, I think you'd have to sedate them.
You would.
Yeah.
This I don't is know a, how these people
thing,
are doing
well,
this.
Well, people put their cat right under their face, and so then it looks
show,
like...
Show Jim
Yeah.
The...
This is cat bearding. Oh. It's a thing.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's weird. It's just weird.
I'm just asking to be scratched.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't even attempt that with Jazz.
Yeah. That does not seem like it's going to end well for a lot of those people.
I thought
people.
It was bearding in a Marcus Bachman kind of way.
No.
No.
No, 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 okay. No. Not husband bearding. The sudden new craze called cat bearding has made us realize it's always futile to claim the internet is in a new low. Because as soon as you make such a pronouncement, something like cat bearding comes along. To remind you, the internet will always be more pointless and absurd. So let's hear it for cat bearding. Is, I don't know who brought us this. But
you make your cat look up somehow.
Right,
and
look
then
up. And so it looks like their nose is
your nose.
You take the picture from down here, so it looks like their nose and the cat is your beard.
Right.
Right. Except someone snuck a dog in there. I mean, come on. No cheating on the cat bearding website.
Although that looks
obviously a dog.
That looks like a dog beard.
Right. Well, so now I guess there will be a whole other website of dog bearding.
Sure.
I would just look with Max or Fred like I was lost in a snowdrift. You wouldn't be able to see me. I would look like a bumble.
Yes, you would.
Didn't I ever tell you about bumbles? Bumbles bounce!
All right. So, yes, on cue, a lot of people, the experts, say this was one of the president's best speeches. I thought it was, it really was incredible. I mean, I have to say, honestly, even the way he handled the heckler was pretty extraordinary. It was pretty, like, I've never seen that before. Mm-hmm. He let her speak. He didn't, like, make fun of her when she left. He said that woman has appointment, you know, Medea Benjamin of Code Pink. But, of course, on cue, did somebody on the right wing said, oh, the president's apologized to America. It was blah, blah, blah.
Shut up.
What? No.
He's smartly switching the strategy of the global war on terror to a targeted war on terror.
Right. Oh, and by the way, just on cue for someone to say that, Greg sends us, there's a new, they've done a bunch of graphs about American exceptionalism. The USA is number one in total crimes, rapes.
Yes.
CO2 emissions, divorce rate, teen birth rate, heart attacks.
Yes.
McDonald's, restaurants, plastic surgery, and prisoners.
All right, we're number one.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
America.
Yeah. All right. By the way, on cue, the right wing's head did explode with the president's prom picture where he is Dr. Smooth, and he's got a hot blonde. That's where the white women at.
Where are white women at?
There.
Hawaii, apparently.
Wait, where are the white women at?
They're upset he's with
check
a white woman?
No, bitches.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing they are. I heard them mocking his prom pictures, but he's handsome.
When you wear a powder blue tux, that's mockable.
It's white.
Oh, it is?
Yes, his is white.
Oh.
Aw, and then they have kind of some love music. It looks like they have his writing in her yearbook. This is cute.
Have a bitch in summer.
Don't go changing.
See you next year.
It's just kind of funny to watch the president's writing when he was in high school. Kelly. It's been so nice getting to know you this year.
Well, I bet.
You are extremely sweet and foxy.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
He didn't say foxy.
Yeah, he did.
Oh,
yeah, I did.
Yeah.
POTUS did.
He did.
What about foxy?
POTUS did. POTUS, a player. I don't know why you would want to spend any time with me at all. Oh, he's being a fake humble. Okay. You really deserve better than clowns like us. You even laugh at my jokes. I hope we can keep in touch this summer, even though Greg will be gone. Call me and I'll buy you lunch.
Who's Greg? Even though Greg will be gone, who's Greg?
The other friend.
Okay.
No! Anyway, good luck in everything you do and stay happy. Your friend, love. With a heart. With a little heart. Barry Obama. Oh.
Check it out. Check her out.
All right, she's a hot 70s chick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
She looks like she stepped right out of a Sunkist soda commercial.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The other girl's cute, too.
Yeah. Man. Oh, all right, Jimmy, okay?
She looks like she uses G, your hair smells terrific.
Herbal Essence or something in
or
the
body
70s.
Body on tap. It's made with beer, but don't drink it.
Herbal Essence with Aquanet.
Yeah.
All right, and Tommy writes us, Steph, the only Benghazi scandal is Republicans in Congress falsifying White House emails. I've been saying this. Where is this scandal? Where is this quote-unquote?
Yeah.
Tommy writes, no doubt Daryl Issa and Lindsey Graham are going to call for a hearing to find out who changed the White House emails in order to hurt POTUS and Secretary Clinton. How much news coverage has the doctoring of the White House emails gotten?
Zippity-doo-dah.
Yeah, Media Matters does a breakdown of this. The White House released emails on Benghazi don't just disprove congressional Republicans' accusations that the role White House officials played in drafting administration talking points. They also show these Republican lawmakers fabricated emails they falsely represented to the press as written by the White House staff. If the owner wants to know, you know, who's going to jail, seems like somebody, mm-hmm. should be somebody. They go on to say if we're investigating misconduct, then let's look where there's been misconduct. Which Republicans in Congress deliberately falsified the emails? Who knew about it? Who approved it? No one has been fired. No one has resigned. It is time for accountability.
Who's going to jail?
Right? Indeed, Boner. Thanks for finally getting on a real scandal. Thank you. Who indeed? Who indeed? Wouldn't he look good in an orange jumpsuit?
No.
He'd blend right in.
Where did he go?
Where's his head?
It's like the Invisible Man. Fun with chroma key.
I can see your eyes.
Yeah.
He looks like a character on South Park. His eyes and orange.
Even his teeth are orange because of all that smoking.
Oof. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back. We roll along on a Friday on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Aha. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jill in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Chris and Jim. Not a happy, clappy liberal this morning.
Uh-oh.
We still killed three people accidentally with drones. I mean, I know he's trying to change the policy, but one of them was a 16-year-old boy, and it still breaks my heart to think that we did that. For me, it's not about party. It's about justice, and I think we still have a long way to go. And I'm glad Dia Benjamin spoke to the president.
Yeah.
She didn't criticize, you know, she didn't call him a liar like the asshats do, but she did criticize his policy, and I don't blame her.
Well, you know, Jill, as I think he said to her, though, I mean, these are tough issues. I mean, Anwar Awaki, the guy we did get in that strike, was a really bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other guys we got in the same strike was a really bad guy. And nobody is saying, I mean, obviously, as you said, they called killing the 16-year-old a mistake. But I'm just saying, really, as compared to Iraq or Afghanistan, the amount of people we've killed, you know, I have to say, I'm one of those people that's not
it's not as bad as that, so you can't criticize it?
Right, but I'm just saying that probably saved a lot of American lives, that one strike. And it's just, the problem is there is collateral damage, Jim, in any war. And, he's trying to fight a much smarter, tougher war. Mm-hmm. And he made changes yesterday that I think are good.
Are necessary, but, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, you know what we've missed entirely in all the hubbub? Was it yesterday was World Turtle Day? Happy World Turtle Day to you, Jim.
To Mitch McConnell.
Right. Happy World Turtle Day, sponsored by the American Tortoise Rescue, who invite you to celebrate by dressing up as a turtle or running for the Senate in Kentucky. And Mike is in some music.
Why not both?
Duck and cook.
Thank you. All right. Thanks for bringing that to our attention, Mike. We appreciate it. All right. Yes, the president gave his big speech yesterday on national security.
They did not direct the attacks in Benghazi or Boston.
Okay.
They've not carried out a successful attack on our homeland since 9/11.
You know, I was reading a long piece in the Daily Beast about this, and I guess that's one of the good things, one of the reasons we're able to change this policy now is we have because it's been so effective, because we have decimated so much of the Al-Qaeda leadership. And I think he made good points like that. It just, you know, when you have like ragtag kids like in Boston or wherever that say they're inspired by Al-Qaeda, that's not the same as where Al-Qaeda was when they were able to strike on 9/11.
Right.
And that's, you know, largely due to the Predator program. The president yesterday.
Beyond Afghanistan, we must define our effort not as a boundless global war on terror, but rather as a series of persistent, targeted efforts to dismantle specific networks of violent extremists that threaten America.
Yeah, I mean, that was what was, you know, made more clear in this. They have a playbook now. And the other thing is that, you know, Obama made it clear that he's going to make the decisions himself.
Mm-hmm.
He announced reforms that would dramatically ratchet down the drone program. His singular involvement in making individual kill decisions, which is what is new, he said, despite the fact the military made an aggressive push to wrest back control over final targeting calls from the commander-in-chief, so they were, you know, the CIA and the Pentagon were doing them, so Obama's decided to transfer the CIA's targeted killing program to the U.S. military.
Okay, that makes sense.
I thought it was interesting. I mean, he said he wants to take moral responsibility himself. He said sources also familiar with Obama's thinking say he wanted to personally exercise supervision over lethal strikes away from conventional battlefields to avoid getting embroiled in new wars. Obviously, the point of the program, the reason why he embraced it, is because it obviously is a smarter way to fight the war on terror than invade, the wrong country.
Yeah.
Or stay in Afghanistan forever. Let's go to, the fact is, when we finally got Osama bin Laden, he wasn't in Afghanistan. Darren in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Darren.
Hey, Stephanie. Hi, Mooks. How are you this morning?
Yes, good. Go ahead.
Great. Hey, Stephanie, I saw you at the Beacon Theater. We met. It was great.
Oh,
loved you there.
Thank you.
Sex of Liberals, great. But look, in a nutshell, I'm going to call myself a liberal hawk. I get really tired when, you know, we really don't want to see soldiers killed. And I know the drone program seems to scare a lot of people. But I think people who whine about, so many soldiers are getting killed, and then we have an effective solution, like drones, that can do exactly what they did to Al-Waqi, who I still believe should have been blown to bits with a Hellfire missile. I know I'm one of the liberals that probably seems like, well, wow, I can't believe he said that. But you know what? The guy was on TV stuff. Absolutely. I mean, not on TV, too. But he was like, I told everybody who I was. It's not like someone who had to go to trial and figure out exactly what he was. He advertised and made it very clear.
Yeah. I hear you. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. More on this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
My biological clock is ticking like a bomb. I call my uterus the hurt locker.
Ha! Ah! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Stephanie in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steph.
Hey.
Hi, go ahead. Go ahead.
I wanted to talk about the young lady from Copink yesterday. I thought, actually, I'm kind of fed up with her kind and all of this sympathy for these people who want to hurt us, whether they're American citizens or not. It's almost as if they're saying, so if a gang member is shooting at you because they are an American citizen, do you not shoot back?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure them out. Yes.
Yeah.
Before you give me a smart answer, John, yeah. I'm trying to figure their point of view out. At what point does being an American stop protecting you from wanting to stop serving?
Yeah,
but this is also for kids of the people they're going after. I mean, it's collateral damage, but still, you kill
people. Excuse me. You name me one war where there's never been any collateral damage. You name one. You name one.
I mean, Jim. I think it
hit the people,
yeah.
And only hit the people that it was supposed to hit.
Do you feel like we shouldn't have got Bin Laden because we obviously killed people in there that were not Bin Laden? But Steph. I guess I don't care in that instance. You know, it's someone that orchestrated the death of at least 3,000 Americans.
Honestly, Honestly, I'm really waiting on his answer because I get tired of that. Well, when we killed this person and we killed the kids, I mean, well, name one war that we've ever engaged in.
Yeah, but this is
any war
different
that
from,
has ever been is, engaged in.
This isn't like
so
Vietnam or
not,
World War II. I mean, we're
this isn't a battlefield war.
No, this is very different. We're going after individuals.
Right,
now.
But that's why he just changed the parameters yesterday to try to, I mean, I'm just, you know, Steph, I think there is a reason why the majority of the American people are for drones because of exactly what you and I are talking about. Because I think it's better than, you know, unnecessary wars.
But
it's better
they're,
than...
They're asking for something that is completely impossible. How in the world can you just go after and hit just one person and not get anyone else? Even if, even when people go in and they have a shootout, you're going to get somebody else.
Yeah.
You're not going to just hit that particular person. So I would like for them to just give me an example of what they're talking about that they would rather prefer. That they, well, I'm sorry, not re- that they would prefer.
It's a good question.
I guess I think has, you stumped Jim.
I guess he has no answer.
Yeah.
You know, I thought even the Code Pink, Medea Benjamin is her name. I thought, you know, look at even the way the president handled that as opposed to, I mean, first of all, no other presidents would let somebody talk that long, mm-hmm, you
right.
know, and
yeah,
make their
well.
Points. And he didn't make a snarky joke about her. He said that woman has a point. I mean, I just thought that was extraordinary. Didn't you, Steph?
I sure did. I sure did, and I just think that she was just extremely rude and extremely disrespectful, and she has no answers.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, he kept saying, and he kept saying, and he kept saying,
okay, what are they going to do when these people are released or when somebody hurts us again? What are they going to do? Well, if they're so concerned about us, please stop gang violence first. Why don't you stop the stuff that's going on here?
And I think he so calmly said, ma'am, I'm about to answer that. I'm about to say that. I've never seen a president in my lifetime do that. George Bush, she would have been Gitmo in about after 4 seconds, you know, out of her mouth.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was extraordinary that not only he let her talk, he tried to answer her. He didn't make fun of her. He said, you know, she has some good points. I don't agree with all of them, but I, you know.
Yeah, he handled it very well.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks, Steph. I appreciate it. Let's go to Nancy in New York. Hello, Nancy.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
I am so upset at the liberals. When and that lady that was screaming yesterday, they're talking about Anwar Awlaki's son. Just because he's 16, the underwear bomber was young, the Boston bomber was young. What was he doing over there? And if they don't think that his father was grooming him to be just like him, they're crazy. It doesn't matter what age the little boy is. I want to know why he was over there. And he could just as well blow us up.
Right.
Any grown man. I'm glad that they got rid of him now because
I mean,
he was always.
And Nancy, I think
I'm sure that his father influenced him and everything. I'm sure.
I think our last caller on the point I tried to make to Jim is that
I
you know
her,
there
yes.
there is a difference between 9/11 where they deliberately killed a bunch of innocent people and what we're trying to do with precision drone strikes where we're not trying to, you know, we are not the bad guy. We're trying to kill people that are actively involved in killing Americans and. You know, obviously they even said it was a mistake to kill the 16-year-old. But, what, you know, I mean, I think that it's, as the president said, these are difficult issues.
Yes, and I'm, you know, I'm glad they killed him because I promise you, I think that he was being groomed. And I don't care how old he is. Those people are out to kill. They don't like us. His father is a strong presence. You know that he was influenced by his father.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so Jim raises a good point. I think Jim's point is well taken. It's we do have a rule of law in America. We do believe in a rule of law, but I think
her due process.
Right, but her point is also that.
If
we took his dad out with a missile, what do you think he would grow up to? I mean, I'm not saying that's cause
too, right?
to execute
that's
someone,
right.
but right.
right. That too, and also, you know, this, you know. I can't stand, like, the legal system. Like, if they see somebody, okay, they can, like, those guys that chopped up that man in London, they're going to actually waste time and have a trial and everything for him when you know this is what I don't like. Some people don't deserve it. Get rid of them. They're not great in our earth, and they need to be get rid of. And I agree with President Obama at every point.
Well,
he's a crackpot.
I know. We can't throw out due process,
no.
I think. But I'm just saying, you know.
Because what if witnesses finger the wrong person?
Yeah, I know.
You know,
but her point is just, and I know that's not within the rule of law, but I think what she's saying is if so the 16-year-old doesn't get hit, he watches his father get hit, you know, the way he's been indoctrinated, I mean, she's just saying, I mean, that was a guilt by association argument, and I get what you're
every
saying.
Every time we kill, you know, every time we do have collateral damage, we create more people who hate us. So it's kind of, I don't know how it,
yeah.
It's kind of a losing proposition. It's...
Yeah.
If you create more terrorists by trying to wipe out the bad guys.
Well, I think we create more terrorists by unnecessary wars than we, but, you know, Robert in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Robert.
Hi. I just absolutely disagree with our drone program. I actually disagree with the killing of Alawaki. You know, he was a U.S. citizen. Fundamentally, he was a U.S. citizen.
He was a U.S. citizen engaged in actively, you know,
intriguing.
Planning, against other U.S. citizens.
He was basically the PR guy for Al-Qaeda. He was a cleric who was basically their PR guy. He never killed anybody. He did foster all this hatred. But, you know, the thing is, we try him. We try him for sedition. We try him. We bring him in for a fair trial. And you know what? We don't have to kill his son. I mean,
That was one of the cases, Robert, where the president was talking about that it was not capture was not feasible. I mean, in some cases, it's not.
And to Obama's credit, he is curtailing the drone program, which in my book, it's state-sponsored terrorism. I believe that. When you have those drones flying over these people and they don't know when the next missile is going to drop, I think that's terrorism.
Right, but the people that would argue against you, Robert, would say those people sitting in the World Trade Center didn't know when that plane was going to fly into that building, did they?
Well, that's right. That's terrorism as well. And it's actually a crime, and we should have handled it like the crime it was, not start two wars over that. It was a crime.
Do you think it was feasible? Do you think it was feasible to capture Osama bin Laden?
Well, we had him. He was there. I mean, we could have captured him, pulled him into the helicopter alive.
Unless you're one of the Navy SEALs, I don't know.
Yeah,
if I would go.
I don't know that.
I would say everybody's an expert, aren't they?
I don't know that I would say that I could have done it better than a Navy SEAL. That's one of the line.
But if their mission was to get him alive, they could have done that.
By the way,
it wasn't.
Somebody were even saying, like, how did that, you know, the kid, the Tamerlan's friend that got shot by the FBI that we're interviewing, and they're like, how does he get an unarmed guy get shot by, you know, three armed FBI guys? And one of the FBI guys is like, well, first of all, someone comes at you and you've got a gun. It's pretty quickly going to, you know, the gun's going to come into play.
Yeah.
So it's like, I, you know, I'm not one for second guessing, you know.
No, not at all.
People in that situation. Shar in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Shar.
Hi. Say, I admire the president a lot for his response to the graciousness of responding to that Code Pink lady. But I wonder, why doesn't he do the same thing when he responds to Congress in these hearings and stands up maybe in front, you know, about these accusations from the IRS and say, hey, let's fix it. You've got a point. Let's fix it.
Well, he has said that. That's what he said.
No, let that be the bottom line. It says, let's get together and fix it. Hearings don't fix it. The accusations don't fix it. You know,
right, but that's exactly what Obama did say. All right, maybe I'm confused. Isn't that exactly what he said about the IRS, that he found out about it? He was furious. He said, let's fix it.
I think he was giving the Republicans too much ammunition and too much credit for their outrage at this supposed crime. It was, you know, the tempest in the teapot. It was just teapot, tea party.
literally.
But, you know, these guys did not deserve tax-exempt status. And to maintain this fiction that it was this witch hunt against Republicans.
And Jonathan Chait writes a good piece today in New York Magazine about the IRS scandals becoming a conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. Everything they keep trying to tie it to Obama, it doesn't pan out.
It doesn't stick.
It just becomes, All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with more on drones and the IRS as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, get it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ride
get it. Get it. Ride it.
Ride that choo-choo.
Do it. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. The president yesterday on drone policy.
This war, like all wars, must end. That's what history advises. That's what our democracy demands.
All right. He went on to clarify. He has, you know, there's a playbook, as they call it. It remains classified. It lays out a number of reforms to the targeted killing policy. Among the most important, the codification of much higher threshold for targeting suspected terrorists. The president again yesterday.
I do not believe it would be constitutional for the government to target and kill any U.S. citizen with a drone or with a shotgun without due process.
Stipulations, lethal force can only be used against targets who represent a continuing imminent threat where capture is not feasible. The president again. Yesterday.
Before any strike is taken, there must be near certainty that no civilians will be killed or injured. The highest standard we can set.
That's Jim, those are the ones you're talking about. They're called signature strikes, where groups of suspected terrorists have been targeted, believed to have led to significant civilian casualties, mm-hmm. with the same time increasing the number of high-level al-Qaeda members who were killed. The president yesterday.
I am lifting the moratorium on detainee transfers to Yemen so we can review them on a case-by-case basis.
He also obviously talked about the hunger strike at Gitmo. Mm-hmm. It was finishing up in the Daily Beast piece. They were saying Obama saw the program, meaning the drones, as a way to keep the pressure on a dangerous enemy that was continuing to plot and plan attacks from its safe havens in Pakistan while lessening the U.S. footprint in the region. Lessening the U.S. footprint, I think, is a really good thing.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons. Over time, two things have happened which led the administration's reform of the program. One has been the increasing drumbeat of criticism of the controversial tactic. The other, paradoxically, has been its success in dramatically degrading the core organization of al-Qaeda in Pakistan. That will allow Obama to argue, or did, obviously, yesterday in the speech that the U.S. is entering a new phase in the war against al-Qaeda, one that offers an opportunity to wind down some of our most aggressive and controversial actions. The Senator McCain yesterday on Gitmo.
On the issue of Guantanamo Bay, we pledged to work with the president, but this time we hope that there is a coherent plan for addressing that issue.
Well, work with would have to be other than let's figure out how to close Gitmo and you just saying no. Right?
There's that.
Yes. And now here is his sidekick. Well-known Southern belle, Lindsey Graham.
I believe we're in a war that's not winding down. We're in a war that's morphing. I support the concepts that the president talks about in many ways, but if he doesn't change his policies, the Middle East is going to blow up, and we're going to get hit again here at home to President Obama. Your foreign policy is not working. You need to adjust it.
What did he say is going to get hit again? The Mona Lisa? The what?
What? No.
What did he say? I missed that in the middle.
I did too. Hold on.
I believe we're in a war that's not winding down. We're in a war that's morphing. I support the concepts that the president talks about in many ways. But if he doesn't change his policies, the Middle East is going to blow up.
Middle East.
And we're going to get
Middle East is
going to blow up, yes.
Oh, that was like Little Lamsey Divey. It was a little.
Mercy Notes and Nosey Notes.
Little Lamsey Divey. Middle East.
I can't believe Divey too.
Right.
I believe in unicorns that fart glitter.
Okay, let's go to Stephanie in Canton, Ohio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say an answer. When Jim was talking, that lady was talking, Stephanie also, about collateral damage. What if her child was the collateral damage? You know, would that change the conversation?
Well, I think her point would be she wouldn't be engaged in terrorism. And, you know,
I know, but a lot of these kids that are killed aren't engaged in it either.
Well, I think her point is assuming his dad was radicalizing him as well. But, you know, I know what you mean.
I mean the drones and the targeted assassination. I'm with Jim.
Yep. All right, honey. Well, lots of folks are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Ian in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Ian.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, what I wanted to ask you was a question, actually, because, you know, I don't want to backpedal too much on these drones, but with the, you know, we're doing these military incursions into other countries with these drones to kill specific targets and then having civilian casualties. Well, what if another nation, you know, acquired this technology like China, for example, and they have labeled someone that's a Chinese citizen or someone as a terrorist in the United States, and they decided to use these drones? I mean, because that's a similar concept, and I just want to know how you feel about that, because I can't get a straight answer out of anybody on that question. You know, another country using these drones in our country.
Yeah.
That's essentially what we're doing.
Well, then we'd be at war with that country.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get your point.
It's just, it's, you know, single actors basically in Pakistan and Afghanistan. It's not huge armies or air forces we're dealing with. But if China were doing that within our country, we would be at war with China.
Well,
and that would be.
I mean, the president had said this. Remember early on, this is what was controversial when he was running. That was back against McCain, right? Mm-hmm. He said, if I have actionable intelligence that Osama bin Laden is in Pakistan and they won't help, I am going to. I will get him. Yeah, go get him. Okay, Brad and I would think that we might take exception to Chinese firing drones around here, though. I'm guessing hypocrisy. Yes.
Yeah.
Brad in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brad.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
A word that you don't hardly hear very often anymore is dove.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a liberal. I'm anti-war. This whole war on terror is, I mean, I've been hearing about it for 12 years now. Terror is a tactic.
Right.
Yeah. No matter how many people you kill, you're still going to have terror.
Right.
I mean, we're killing people for their ideas before they even do anything. Mm. Just the idea that they're against
it. No, I don't.
They've done things.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, the guy,
is that right?
Anwar al, I can't say his name for God's sakes for the life of me. What's his name? Anwar al...
Awlaki?
Yeah. No, they've done things.
That's Tom Brokaw.
Yeah.
Anwar
al-Awlaki. Right. Much better.
No,
Tony and...
No, they've done things.
Tony and Ventura.
He's not from Lithuania.
No. Tony and Ventura.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, good morning, Jim and Chris. I love the show. You know, I really love and I'm proud that we have a president that goes out there and explains thoroughly what he's doing with our national security, you know, for all of us to understand. You know, I mean, look at the way he treated that protester also. And he's setting the example. I mean, he's being polite. And he's explaining what's going on. I mean, Gitmo wasn't on his plate. I mean, it was thrown on his plate when he became president, but it wasn't his idea. But I bet you go around and start asking people who started Gitmo. I bet you, especially down in the South, I'm pretty sure they would say that it was Barack Obama who opened it. So, you know, I'm very grateful that we have this president, and my brother always, me and my brother lives in Oklahoma, and just give a shout out to Oklahoma. We love
yep.
you guys, and
yep.
We're with you. The whole country is. My brother always tries to accuse me as if trying to offend me by being a partisan, and I'm always telling him, you know what? Yes, I am a partisan. I am proud to be a Democrat for all of our ideas and everything that the Democrats have done for the country, you know, Social Security, worker, you know.
There you go.
I mean, there's a long list.
There you go. Absolutely. All right. Speaking of terrorism, Tom Brokaw, we have not even gotten to the story in London. The, you know, the wool. The wool, which...
Well,
mutilators.
Mutilators.
Right, the guys that mutilated... Not a little old lady late last night, but a guy.
Werewolves of London again.
Right. Not a little lady, a guy from... That is an unbelievable story, the woman.
Oh, my God.
The woman heroin in the middle of it. Oh, my God, we got to talk about that.
And we've got some audio from her.
Oh, my God. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there like Kevin in Chicago did. Oh, by the way, I got bumped. Jodi Arias killed my hit on CNN last night.
It wasn't the first thing she killed.
Yeah, now she's a bitch. bumped right up while I was on set. All I'm saying. Shouldn't she get the death penalty just for that? Right?
That's...
Exactly. Anyway, but I was going to be on, I think it's going to be tonight. 4:45 Pacific, 7:45 Eastern on Aaron Burnett. The case of Caitlin Hunt. She's now 18 and she had an underage consensual affair with another girl, and mm-hmm. the other girl's parents have had her arrested now that she turned 18, which is ridiculous.
Yes.
Anyway, so I'm supposed to be on to talk about that. And somebody, Jim, called yesterday, was telling you about there was a case in Georgia that was similar. Because you said, how often does that happen with opposite sex?
Mm-hmm.
And they said it happened in Georgia. Kevin, with a not-so-fun fact, Steph, that particular case in Georgia involved a black older male and a white female.
Oh.
Just saying. He's just... could be wrong. He's just saying, if they both were white, he didn't think we would...
Hmm.
Who knows? I don't know. I just saying, I don't hear that happening very often, where somebody has a relationship in high school, and then the parents have someone arrested the minute they turn 18. That's crazy.
Well, I mean,
crazy.
You know, they're gonna stick to the age of consent laws.
Yeah, they either follow them or they don't.
Right.
Yes, but when you're both underage, I don't understand. It just doesn't make sense to me.
But once you turn 18, you're not anymore. You're not,
and so not all things are equal once you turn 18.
Well, this is like Boy Scouts. You can be a gay Boy Scout now, and then magically
when you turn 18,
right, you can no longer play in the reindeer games.
Right.
Apparently, yeah.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Yes, in case you hadn't heard, as Jackie was just saying, the Boy Scouts of America voted yesterday to end a divisive ban and allow openly gay boys to be accepted into the nation's leading youth organization. Gay adults will remain barred from serving as scout leaders. I don't know. It's like Cinderella or something. They turn into a pumpkin once they turn 18 and they're no longer welcome. Some conservative churches that sponsor scout units wanted to continue excluding gay youths. Of course they did.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases threatened to leave if the ban were lifted. More liberal scout leaders, while supporting the proposal to accept gay youth, wanted the ban on gay adults lifted as well.
Scout units.
Weeblos.
You're underage.
All right. Oh, this seems like a good idea. Sports Camp offers to help men struggling with same-sex attraction through exercise.
Ah,
that is working really well at my gym.
Yeah, because gay people go to gyms.
What? Well, the exercise may
sweat with other muscly men. That'll help you.
And hit a pillow with a tennis racket.
Right.
That'll fix it.
The Huffington Post brings us the story. Exercise the gay urges away. A Pennsylvania sports camp claims to help men control same-sex attraction through Christian fellowship.
Sure. And shirts versus skins football.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And the really gay volleyball scene in Top Gun.
Hut, 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 hey.
Hey.
Hey, girl.
Christian fellowship, camaraderie, and, of course, sweaty team sports. Lots and lots of sweating with other muscular
manly
men.
Things.
Right.
You know, like the Greeks did. Oh, wait.
The
bad
camp
example.
Advertises an exhilarating experiential weekend for men.
Sure.
It's like sounds like a white party. Courage Apostolate, a Catholic organization, has long worked to, quote unquote, help those with same sex attraction.
That sounds like a character from a Rocky movie.
Mm-hmm. Urges them to change their ways or, of course, achieve peace through a life of celibacy. Mm. Who isn't that peaceful for?
Oh, I am
and
celibacy.
Satisfying. Mm-hmm. Yes. Some people, as you might imagine, are somewhat offended by this. Just the idea that gay men have to heal some sort of sports wound shows how out of touch with reality these people are. Others who said the implication that gay people are bad at sports is insulting and ridiculous.
Yeah.
The idea that sports has anything to do with one's sexuality is confusing science with stereotypes, said the director of a gay group. Have fun, though, boys. The sports camp in Pennsylvania that sounds really, really gay. All right. We were talking about this horrible story in London. Jim, you know all British humor. One of my friends was saying in a very dark humor kind of way that reminds them of that sketch about how, everybody in Britain is so polite.
Because
he actually was saying, sorry you had to see that.
Yes.
Sorry. All the children had to see that. And he's like literally holding a cleaver and dripping blood.
Yeah.
So sorry, it's appalling. Sorry you had to see that. I apologize. Yeah, there is some sketch I'm thinking of where British people apologize for everything, no matter what.
Hmm.
But yeah, that was beyond bizarre. This whole
broad daylight.
Yeah, on purpose, obviously.
Yeah.
It was, and they were just waiting for people to come film them on cell phone cameras and stuff. David Cameron, British Prime Minister.
This country will be absolutely resolute in its stand against violent extremism and terror. We will never give in to terror or terrorism in any of its forms.
By the way, that lesbian den mother can't serve anymore because of the Boy Scout ruling here. But, this gal in Britain was a their equivalent of a den mother.
That's right.
And, wow, what a, this is an unbelievable, I need some inspirational story music. This is,
okay.
She is, I would have pooed myself and run away. I mean, this woman, the woman who stood up to these, to the Woolwich mutilators. Right.
The little old lady got mutilated last night. Werewolves of Ireland again.
Right. In Woolwich.
Woolwich.
Thanks.
Jewelry.
Her name is Ingrid Loylan Kennett.
Loylan.
Right.
Ingrid Loylan Kennett.
Who stood up to the London Woolwich mutilators.
Better me than a child, because unfortunately there were more and more mothers with children stopping around.
Yeah, she faced down these two alleged killers. Can you imagine both, like,
wow,
literally holding knives and cleavers and covered in blood? Yeah, she's a 48-year-old Cub Scout leader from Cornwall. She got off a bus.
Cornwall. And gone.
And Woolwich, south of London. Yesterday when she saw the man lying injured in the street and rushed to give him first aid, he was obviously dead already.
Yeah, wow.
She saw two men nearby with cleavers carrying knives. One of them had a revolver. Their hands are covered in blood. She didn't run. She confronted one of them. How many people would do that? Anybody?
Wow.
Anybody?
No, I don't
Bueller?
Think...
Bueller?
No.
Oh, dear
no.
God. She said, I thought I'd better start talking to you before he starts attacking somebody else. Seriously, who would have this instinct? I thought these people usually have a message. So I said, what do you want? Yeah, I would not have cared.
Yeah.
But she said what they wanted was to start a war in London tonight, one of them told her. One of the alleged killers had what looked like butcher's tools, and he had a little axe to cut the bones and two large knives, and he said, move off the body. I asked him if he did it, and he said yes, and I said, why? And he said, because the man on the ground has killed Muslim people in Muslim countries. He said the man was a British soldier. I said, really? Can you imagine standing there chatting with this guy, having
a
conversation?
Oh, my God.
And he said, I killed him because he killed Muslims. I'm fed up with people killing Muslims in Afghanistan. And this is the part about the alleged killers. I apologize for the fact that the women in the neighborhood had to see the carnage on the street. She said, oh, I thought, okay, I should just keep him talking before he notices everything around him. She kept talking, listening the way one listens to a child to calm him down and waiting 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Still, the cops hadn't come. Yeah, wow. That's not a great response time.
No.
Yeah, hi, someone's getting hacked to death in the street.
We're down at a pub, you know. We'll be there when, you know, when
right.
We've got time.
Right. There's a cleaver.
I'm still waiting for my shepherd's pie. And, Oh, look at that. I've lost my appetite
Stephanie
now. Stephanie
Miller Show has no information
that
the London 911 dispatcher.
Every 999, actually.
Right,
yeah.
right. Informed anyone that they were waiting for their shepherd's pie.
Because you're just a big fan of shepherd's pie. Someone takes
right.
a shepherd's pie.
It's very British. I don't think you get more British than that.
Yeah, can you imagine if he's the one answering the 911 calls?
Steak and kidney
calls?
Pie might be more British than that.
Or spotted dick.
Excuse me?
It's a pudding. It's
right.
a dessert pudding
right, right,
that they
right,
have.
Right, right,
yeah.
Anyway, she said, I started to notice more weapons, the guy behind him with more weapons as well. She turned her attention to the second killer. I went to him and said...
What?
I went up to him and said, well, what about you? Would you like to give me what you have in your hands?
Oh, God,
wow.
No.
Wow.
Okay, you know what? Cornwall is a rural part of Britain.
Right.
And I don't think a person from the city would do this.
No.
No.
I mean, she's from the country. And
I'm
country
from
people,
the country. Might I have your knife?
They approach other people in the country.
They talk like pirates down there
yeah.
in Cornwall, like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, hardly any.
I did not want to say weapons, but I thought it was better having them aimed at one person like me rather than everybody there. Children were starting to leave school as well. Finally, the cops arrived. The butchers of Woolwich have reportedly attacked them as they got out of their cars, and then the police shot and wounded both of the alleged murderers.
Wow,
but,
alleged?
Yeah, but I mean, well, you know.
Due process.
Literally.
Due process.
I meant to say the alleged Woolwich
mutilators.
Thank God that little old lady didn't get mutilated in Woolwich.
Late last night.
They did
right.
not do it.
And did not happen in Liverpool
right.
or Newcastle.
We apologize for the number of L's in that story. Okay. Donald in Aurora, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Donald.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I was calling in regards to what they were saying about, you know, the collateral damage with kids, and I agree with those people. I'm a veteran. When I was drafted in 66, you know, every time we would walk through rice paddies or go on Zippo raids, we created more VC. Well, what's happening in this situation is they don't care. I mean, all the good that we pretend that to ourselves that we're going to do by getting rid of terrorists in their country. As far as they're concerned, we're making war with their country. We are warring against the whole Muslim world. My advice is this: let's get the hell out of all those areas and stay out of their business.
Right, but that's Donald. That's what I mean. You know, it's interesting. Even this psychopath with the knife said, you know, because Muslims are getting killed in Afghanistan. And what I'm saying is, what you just said, I think, is what is one of the primary things is getting us out of Iraq and Afghanistan. These huge troop, presences.
Yeah, well, you know what really scares me, though, Steph, is comments from the right, like Lindsey Graham. These people want to put us in a perpetual war.
Yeah.
We are going to become the biggest threat to world peace than any nation on this planet if
right.
we keep going down the road.
Donald, I agree, but I think the president pretty much echoed that. I think you're absolutely right. I think John McCain and Lindsey Graham have one view of how we conduct ourselves in the world, and I think the president has another, and I think he made it very clear yesterday. But, you know, what was the, this is what kills me about the way Republicans are now. Reagan, when they bombed the barracks, obviously said it's because of soldiers in that, part of the world. He cut and run. He just took them out.
Yeah, he did.
And, and now it's like they pretend like there's no Republican that's ever done that. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue on all this on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Great Tom Brokaw. It almost happened. A little old lady almost.
A little old lady got me last night.
Lorsch. Almost, but not. But thank God she didn't.
We're getting hero
lady.
We're getting cards and letters saying it's pronounced Woolwich.
Woolwich. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for that.
Woolwich.
Thank you. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
Is there a Walsworth and Woolwich?
One can only find out. Hello, Mark in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Hey.
Listen, I just wanted to comment. I think that Jim, I think you and a lot of the other progressives out there are way off base. Look, I respect and love life and think all life is precious, but I think we have unrealistic expectations that we place on ourselves as progressives. You know, we lose people that way. We lose this pie, we have this pie in the sky expectation that no one will ever get hurt. I am sure that a drone strike on Anwar al-Awlaki was not planned so that it would definitively and definitely kill his son as well. But if it's the best and only time we can get this guy, it happens, and we do our best. We do our very, 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 very best to make sure we don't do this, but sometimes it happens.
Right.
And we have to stop placing this unrealistic expectation. Now, I agree with – go ahead.
I was just going to say we had a previous caller, a Vietnam vet, who said that every time they went through, tried to take out VC, they created more VC.
Agreed, and that's kind of a pioneer. I mean, we know. So the question is, do we just sit back and turn the other cheek peacefully every time someone attacks us, or do we, if we know that there's an attack coming, do we sit there and try to use harsh language or loving language to convert them before they blow us up? I mean, it's
well, and Mark,
difficult.
You know, that goes to another good point. Vietnam, dumb war, as the
right.
president
Absolutely.
Called Iraq. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
A lot of Vietnam vets have called in and said, "Boy, I wish we had drones rather than sending in how many
right.
good American boys that never came back." Right.
That's my point. We were carpet bombing. There's a we are doing our very very best to do something, but yet be strategic, tactical, and only hit the affected parties. But we place these expectations on ourselves, and we destroy our own president's credibility by not seeing, what I saw yesterday when I saw President Obama was that this is a man who is struggling with trying to do something and trying to protect American people while at the same time trying to be moral and courageous.
Right.
And we hurt him by putting these expectations that, we should never have a drone strike because we're creating more terrorists. Well, this is the real world we live in, and this is where
then you become
the
Benghazi crazies, right? Like, he should have
Absolutely.
Sent space monkeys with laser beams in. Why did he just sit around? Why did the president? What was yesterday's point? Why did the president fall asleep? What? Okay.
Oh, because he was asleep when it happened, when Benghazi happened, or something.
Because it was the other side of the world,
right?
Exactly.
About time when you would
Annette
normally be asleep.
Annette in Michigan. Hello, Annette. And but he was good simultaneously morning. Watching the video happen live and ordering
sleeping.
People to
While
stand
sleeping.
Down.
Yes.
Right. Hello, Annette.
Hi. I'd like to comment on two different things, actually, the drones and the Boy Scout thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, the drones have been around for many years. This isn't something that just happened when President Obama came into office, but the Republicans have done everything they can to discredit him. And, you know, we've been using drones for years. It only became an issue when President Obama came into office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other thing on the Boy Scouts, you know, they're saying, okay, it's all right if you're gay, you can be in the Boy Scouts, but you can't be a leader.
Right.
You know, maybe they should push it a little bit further and say, okay, you can be a leader if you're gay, you just can't be a flaming homosexual. You know, that's
well, it's,
not
it's
okay.
You know, it makes no sense. It sends a really poor message to the kids, I think. It's like, well... Okay, but it better be a phase that you get over by the time you grow up, or else
right.
you
could be smoldering,
you can't be
a leader. Not flaming.
Right, right.
Sometimes smoldering is
that,
worse than flaming.
That better be campfire I'm smelling. Barb in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Barb.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Say, first of all, I just want to tell you I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
I've seen your Sexy Liberal Tour. I saw you when you were in Phoenix when you and CeCe Goldwater were running.
Wow.
So I've been following
Oh, my goodness. Our failed presidential run. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, it was awesome. We still have our T-shirts.
Oh, good.
But I just want to say I want to defend Medea Benjamin.
Yes.
I also am a member of Cook.
And by the way, so did the president defend
Medea. I know. I appreciate it that he let her talk. I'm also a Code Pinker. I'm also Progressive Democrats of America, very active. And, yes, I voted for the president. I made calls for him. I've supported him. Do not support him as far as the war. Now, Medea's point... As far as the drones, she has a book out about drone warfare. And her point of we are creating so many more enemies. And my request to you is please have Medea on your show. Let her speak. She has been on many progressive shows.
Well, Barb, and I mean this respectfully, what would you do in terms of terrorism? What would you do?
I certainly would not have expanded the use of drones as much as we have under this president. And again, I don't want to trash him because I admire him.
Yeah.
But let's say
Anwar al-Awlaki. How would you have gotten him?
I would not have used drones.
Right.
Drones are creating so much more animosity. Toward this country, we're
right, but as
ourselves.
Much animosity as the Iraq War or even Afghanistan. As much as a ground war, because I don't think so. I think that's the difference. But
well, none of us wanted Iraq. I shouldn't say none of us. Those on the progressive
right.
side
but
and have a brain.
Right, but I respectfully ask, how would we? You can't not do either, I think. You can't
do anything. You
can't
have another 9/11.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That's the smartest thing you've ever said.
Really? What about 3 years ago when I said there should be more TV shows about cake?
Right? Okay. All right. The boner on the IRS. Is he still wondering who's going to jail over
yeah.
the IRS scandal?
I don't know who's going to jail.
Who doesn't want to see him in an orange jumpsuit? Me. I do. Who else? Just saying, the altering of the White House emails, that seems kind of criminally to me. John Boehner.
Yeah. What is most troubling in this White House is that the lights are on,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't seem to be anybody at home.
Oh.
The IRS systematically violated the rights of Americans for almost 2 years.
No, they didn't.
Who's going to jail?
He would be the most fun ever in an orange jumpsuit. Just a little set of eyes. Okay. As I was mentioning earlier, Jonathan Chait in New York Magazine on how the IRS scandal is becoming a conspiracy theory, he said what Republicans want is for the IRS story to be an Obama scandal. This is what they're after in every scandal. As an Obama scandal, the IRS story is quickly following the same trajectory as the Benghazi story. A fever swamp obsession in which understanding the fundamentally sinister character of the Obama administration is the predicate for interpreting all the information or lack thereof, and the term becomes a code phrase shared by many true believers to stand for deeper currents of left-wing machinations invisible to those outside the tribe.
Machinations or machinations?
Right, either one. Conservatives initially seized on the possibility of the IRS thing representing an Obama-directed effort to punish his enemies, yet every subsequent piece of information has undercut this suspicion. The IRS Inspector General, a Republican appointee, found the problems all originated within low levels of the agency. Deep reporting from the New York Times, Washington Post, and Wall Street Journal all found the same. And lest you think there's a liberal conspiracy, you don't think they'd want to break a huge story? Please, there's no such thing as the liberal media. And Peggy Noonan now, through her Chardonnay cloud, she sees dark patterns of Republicans.
Dark patterns.
Facing audits. Apparently unaware there are lots of audits every year, and nearly half the country voted Republicans.
Yeah.
Nate Silver crunched the numbers on it, and it's like, no,
Peggy. He's good at that.
Larry Connors, a local reporter in St. Louis, became a right-wing hero by claiming the IRS started persecuting him after he asked Obama tough questions in an interview, only for Connors to subsequently concede, I should disclose that my issues with the IRS preceded that interview by several years.
Yeah.
There's that. I've been a tax cheat for quite some time. Maybe it didn't have to do with that. My bad. Okay. Nancy Pelosi.
I do think the American people deserve answers. I wish that she would have provided them.
Lois Lerner.
Lois Lerner, yeah. Right. I mean, interesting, though. The Daily Beast has done a piece about talking to former IRS directors. And it's exactly what you've been talking about, Jim. Marcus Owens, he was director of that same, the IRS-exempt organization from 1990 till 2000. He said it was inevitable that something was going to happen because of the restructuring of the 1998 IRS Restructuring Reform Act was ushered in. He said a culture of disorganization and communication. He said instead of having clear hierarchical oversight, Cincinnati was given the responsibility to handle things that would normally be handled by the better-equipped Washington office in an effort to save money. Oh, there's those austerity folks again.
Yeah.
He said the safety valves that existed to move questionable or politically charged exemption application to Washington's were shut off as part of a rational allocation of scarce resources. The inspector general, he said, should have made it clear these organizations were voluntarily submitting applications to the IRS for evaluation, meaning these Tea Party groups.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He said this is a case of funding problems and management problems. Everyone is thinking that the IRS was hunting down conservative organization with bloodhounds or something. What they were really doing was opening the morning's mail. It's like we said, because there was such an explosion of these kind of groups.
And there wasn't enough funding to hire more people at the IRS to look into these groups, that they had to come up with a shortcut.
Right.
And their shortcut was looking for people with Tea Party in their name, or you know, it's how you handle excessive workload in the modern workplace.
And he said the IRS is really a collection agency for the government.
Right.
When the Citizens United decision came down, and there were a number of 501c4s applying for tax exemption, I'd hope this whole area would be studied and proper rules would be determined. I haven't seen that happen yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's basically what this whole thing is about. It's as nefarious as they keep trying to make it seem. The other headline, Tea Party storm largely inside the IRS. 3 days of congressional hearings about the IRS targeting of conservative groups have lawmakers looking for ways to widen an investigation that has so far been largely contained within the tax collection agency. So far, investigators have not produced evidence that anyone outside the IRS authorized the targeting or even knew about it before a few weeks ago. But they'll keep trying. That doesn't mean they're not going
to
have a...
And what does this have to do with Whitewater?
Right. Exactly. All right, Mike in L.A. on the little old lady that almost got mutilated late last night in Woolrich. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, all.
Hello.
Just some further information on the police response in the Woolrich incident. The official response time from the first emergency call was 13 minutes, but we should bear in mind that most British police are not armed.
Right.
And the nature of the call was that it required an authorized firearms officer's response.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Also, it's in the south of London. If these nutters had been going after someone in Whitehall or around the Houses of Parliament, someplace like that, mm-hmm. there would have been an armed response within a minute, I'm sure,
right.
because
right.
that's where they tend to concentrate. Also, you'll notice over the past 3 years or so that you see many fewer policemen on the street in Britain generally because of austerity cutbacks in funding.
Wow.
Oy. There you go. There you go. The wonders of austerity again.
That's right. These nutters.
These nutters. Robert in Savannah, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Robert.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about this caller earlier who was comparing like shootouts and street crime to the drones, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think there's actually a very, very important point to make here. If you look at neighborhoods and localities where there's high crime rates, what you also find, and actually, let me back up a second. Only about 50% of crimes are reported, and there's a reason for that. Because in areas where there are high crime in those neighborhoods, what often happens is that you get over-policing and harassment of people in those neighborhoods to the point where they stop trusting the police. And as a result, the reporting of crime goes down, not the actual crime, and that
right.
allows crime to fester. I think that if you're going to draw the analogy between street crime and drone strikes, you got to start there. Because when we have drone strikes and we shrug off collateral damage and say, oh, that's just a terrible tragedy that's unavoidable, I think that the same thing happens. Our intelligence officials know where these people are to do drone strikes because they work with the good guys in those regions. And the good guys right. in those regions are our friends because they trust us. But if you keep having these drone strikes, many of them sometimes going off and hitting innocent people, what you do is you, at the very least, the same thing in the high crime neighborhoods, you turn people against us, they become hostile towards us, and they'll stop working with us, making it harder to procure sources. Now,
yeah.
You had a caller earlier who was talking about the real world. Well, that's the real world. In the real world, we have seen it in street crime. There's no reason to believe that when we harass people or we bomb them accidentally, incidentally, or what have you, that suddenly, and it's repeated, it's not just an occasional situation, then there's no reason to believe that we're going to succeed in procuring more intelligence sources in those areas. We need those.
Right.
And so finally,
so what,
and just let me
okay.
say, okay, go on.
No, what's your point? What do we do about terror then?
What do we do about terrorism? Well, you know, she made the point about street shootouts. Well, usually we try to avoid those, right? Police tend not to want to do those because those can be so bad. Well, what do we do about terrorism is that sometimes you might have to do it the hard way. You know, getting bin Laden, we chose to do the hard way because we wanted to be sure, but we were still very, very effective. And sometimes
right.
it's hard, and sometimes it's
well,
more dangerous.
Well, there's a hard way, as in starting a war in the wrong country and then
I think his point is
not getting him, as Bush did it.
It's not just about getting the bad guys, it's supporting the good guys.
Right.
And making sure that there are still good guys.
Yeah.
And...
Yes.
But that, of course, means more boots on the ground, probably.
Right. By the way, there are good guys, and then there is Tom Coburn.
Oh, God.
This guy. Really? Did you see this story? Senator Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma, fired back yesterday at those who have criticized him for demanding that any disaster aid package for Oklahoma tornado victims include offsets. He said the money's already there to help his constituents. He argued, suggesting lawmakers only want to pass an unpaid-for disaster aid package so they can tuck other unrelated items in it to benefit their own home states. He said there's $11.6 billion sitting in a bank account waiting to help people in Oklahoma. He's actually right about that, but no thanks to him. It's money that he
right.
voted against.
Uh-huh.
Don't you love this? It's not because he had anything to do with it. Congress approved $18.5 billion for disaster relief in 2013. And you know, that was after Hurricane Sandy relief. Coburn, of course, vocally opposed both packages. But lawmakers decided none of that emergency aid should be subject to offset, so the amount left in that fund is the $11.6 billion, which means it can be... But, I mean, don't you love how it's like he's taking credit for something that...
Look what I did for
not
you.
Not if you had anything to do with it, that money wouldn't have been there. Coburn then went on to suggest that most of the property damage from the tornadoes was insured. Really?
What?
He claimed it could be it would be a $200, $250, maybe $300 million cost to the federal government out of the FEMA fund, and accused Washington of creating a crisis where none exists so they can advantage themselves.
What?
The tornado is estimated to have left more than $2 billion worth of damage. I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, somebody was saying there was
like
hysterical.
$100 worth of damage there.
Right. There was a hysterical TV interview where he was saying, you don't need the government. Neighbors help neighbors. And they said, literally in the shop behind him, there's no people, just rubble.
Right.
Really? All the neighbors are just going to fix this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, when is he dense.
Yeah. When asked if he thought the government should take steps to mandate tornado shelters, for instance, in the aftermath of the storm, he rejected that idea by using a classic statistical fallacy. He said, if you're living in that area of Moore in Oklahoma, the likelihood of being hit by another tornado is about zero in terms of odds.
No, it's exactly the same as it was before.
They're in Tornado Alley.
He doesn't understand statistics, does he?
He doesn't understand weather either, obviously.
They just, you know what it is? I think more and more subjects, they're just anti-solution.
Yeah.
Like, no, can't talk about guns after Newtown. No, can't talk about climate change after,
right.
after Sandy or after this. No, can't talk about safe rooms for schools. Like,
if you get hit by lightning, that doesn't wipe away the chance of you ever getting hit by lightning again.
The fertilizer plant can't talk about regulation, though. Mm-hmm. These things just happen. It's like,
God, Republicans are just idiots.
Oh, that
was a little sweep.
That was a little
sweeping.
True. Okay, 47 minutes after the. Oh dear.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
All right. You know, I don't actually get to watch my own show here on Current, but I've recently watched some shows with a friend that she DVR'd.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've gotten to see the earwax removal commercial, and it is spectacular, as everybody says.
No, that was too high pitched.
We were wondering how the auditions went.
For that. No, that was go longer. No, shorten it.
Go!
Perfect! Print
right,
that one.
That's a take. Print. It's a running joke my friends and I do. Ow! Okay. He looks like... Can I just say, I want to buy everything that's advertised. I'm going to buy that hose. Oh, that hose looks amazing.
The crinkly hose.
The
really
crinkly
creepy.
Hose. And the earwax thing. Oh, my God, it looks spectacular. Ow! Okay.
We love our fine sponsors here at Current TV.
That's my point. I am buying that hose. I'm telling you what. And while I'm there, I'm going to get the earwax thing.
Ow! Do you have an earwax buildup problem?
We just would give anything to have been at the auditions for the earwax removal.
Let's book that guy.
Actor. Really? Can we?
I don't know.
Let's do it.
Travis, get on that. Book the earwax guy.
He answers the phone. What? I can't hear you.
I can't
hear
you.
Ow!
He died in a tragic Q-tip accident.
Yeah, I can't hear you. I shoved the Q-tip through my eardrum. You know, as it happens.
Okay.
He will be missed.
Ow!
Okay. Glenn in Sweden. Holy moly. Hello,
Glenn.
Hello, Glenn. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Can I... Do you got me?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Can I be the official expatriate Californian from the Stephanie Miller Show?
Yes.
Excellent. I've been listening for years. I've converted my Swedish wife to a step-ed.
Oh.
Fortunately,
her wife's on the Swedish bikini team. His wife's on the... Yay. All right.
Anyway, I've been here in Sweden for about 15 months, and I'm looking into dual American-Swedish citizenship.
Hmm.
And it's really easy to get citizenship. It's the things you do to lose your American citizenship. And the one thing that's really big that is to lose your citizenship is to take up arms against the United States.
Right.
And so there is no such thing as drone strikes on U.S. citizens. But that being said, I'm against drone strikes. They do two things. Like Gitmo, they recruit more terrorists for us. And the other thing they do is they dehumanize our enemy. And if we can just lob a drone into a group of people, we never have any idea who those people were. And the guy who was flying the drone leaves Edwards Air Force Base, goes home to Victorville every day.
Mm-hmm. What's going on over there?
Sound like Swedish robots in the background.
All right, Dennis. I don't know. That might have been a wiretapping. I can't tell. All right.
I think you heard that because you shoved a Q-tip through your eardrum.
Ow! Okay, sorry. Once you start doing that, trust me, you can't stop.
Okay. Ow!
You know what else is just as irritating to the human ear?
What?
Andrea Tantaro.
Ow! Yeah.
This is Obama's America.
Ow!
It's like the Soviet Union. He said he changed the country. He said it. He said it. He said it.
It's just
and a
like
lot
the
of
Soviet
people
Union.
Voted for him. And if you see any of those people today, do me a favor. Punch him in the face.
What if we see someone like Andrea Tantaros who voted for Mitt Romney? Should we punch her in the face?
Might be an improvement. Who knows?
Oh. You know what? I bet you a lot of people listen to that radio show go, ow! Okay. All right. Speaking of our friends in the right-wing world, would you like to hear some of the craziest tweets from the man who would be Virginia's next lieutenant governor?
Sure.
Just when you thought the transvaginal probe was the best thing to come out of or into Virginia.
What? Huh? Ew.
What? Yeah, let's see, GOP nominee for Virginia Lieutenant Governor E.W. Jackson. If you were to put the dregs of the conservative internet comment sections into a pot, boil them down to their essence, then run the resulting product through a sieve to get to its rawest, most pure form of vitriol, it probably looked something like E.W. Jackson's Twitter feed.
Okay, huh.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, he was just nominated this past weekend as a Republican nominee for, yeah, why are we doing that? It's, anyway, he uses Twitter feed basically to attack gays, Muslims, Obama, even Michael Jackson. Not sure how he got caught. Here are some of the tweets. The president has proclaimed June as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. Well, that makes me feel icky all over. Yuck. If Bill Clinton was the first black president, Barack Obama is the first homosexual president based on their respective affinities.
Huh?
Okay. Tony Perkins was disinvited as a speaker at Andrews Air Force Base because he opposed Obama promoting open homosexuality in the military. This is the Gestapo?
Gestapo?
Says, nah.
Does he know it's a Gestapo?
Gestapo actually killed the gays first, but that's not important now. He also said, I do not believe Obama is the Antichrist, but Christians who follow Obama would probably follow the Antichrist. Are they Christians?
Hmm.
Wow. All right. Well,
wow.
That's
deep thoughts from Jack Handy.
That's a waste of a Twitter feed, in my opinion. All right.
And he's this close to being...
The president, by the way, on the Associated Press.
Journalists should not be at legal risk for doing their jobs. Our focus must be on those who break the law. And that's why I've called on Congress to pass a media shield law to guard against government overreach.
Yeah, so there's that. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang joins us next hour as we continue Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show. At me. 6 minutes after the hour, we were discussing important things like how we'd like to see hard of hearing Darth Vader in the earwax commercial on Current.
What?
Ow!
What?
Carol writes, Mom and the Moops, how is climate change like pregnancy? You can only deny it for so long. Right then.
Waka waka waka.
I can't wait till Sean Hannity has to do his show from Waterworld.
There's no such thing as called
Waterworld. All right. Hey, everybody, it's Friday.
It's Fugelsang. With John Fugelsang.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning, startlingly handsome. How are you?
I'm delightful, damsel. It's so great to see you. I'm doing this from your Boo Radley insert studio in New York, where we get Current TV. So I get to watch Current 1 hour a week when I come to do your show.
Can it give me that whole
You get it, but
cute
you get
shirt.
It?
Cute shirt. Oh,
thanks.
I get it.
Thank you.
I get it. I get it so much that I do know the actor who screams ow when he doesn't realize that the Q-tip shouldn't meet resistance.
Right. What's his name? Who's it?
He's a very nice guy. His name is John Ahrens. He used to date a comedian friend of mine.
Okay.
And I actually shot some pictures once for him for headshots. He asked me to shoot headshots for him, and because he was dating my friend, and he was a nice guy. And I don't really know much of what he's done, but a very nice chap. And then I suddenly see him on TV all the time.
Yeah.
This guy gets more airtime than the catheter guy. And the catheter guy, I want his agent. Between catheter guy. And Q-tip guy.
Can you ask him what the auditions were like? Were there a lot of people there? And how many hours did he have to do to get the job? Right.
It's a dream gig. Between him and the catheter guy, I just want to fire my agent. Now, those guys get so much air. Make fun of him all you want. He's on TV more than the president.
Absolutely.
This guy, more than Ryan Seacrest, this guy gets more screen.
Is the guy's catheter like the crinkly hose, or are those two different things?
No. The catheter is the other commercial dominating the TV news airwaves.
Does he say ow?
If you cath off,
ow! No, and he's the one who should be saying it.
Hey, you got your earwax guy in my catheter commercial.
You got your catheter commercial in my earwax guy.
Now, there are actors around, like
was
John.
Was he pissed off? Yes.
John and Jim, you're right. Stephanie, you're actors. Do you get paid for every time that commercial runs?
If it's a non-union commercial, no.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And also, cable is, I don't know, it's
I don't
weird.
Think I've ever done an actual commercial.
Commercial, okay. You're
except
above
for
that.
Except for one of my failed TV
of
shows.
Cartoon.
All right. Wait a minute. No, that dog commercial you did for your late night talk show.
Right. That's what I said. I've only done commercials for my own failed television shows.
See. Okay. I
right.
see.
Oh, that's the one where John, they had to put a liverwurst on my zipper so the dog would pretend to.
I remember it well.
Everybody remembers that promo.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I couldn't even get a Labrador to be attracted to me without liverwurst on my crotch.
A lot of people entering the bestiality community have that problem.
And, right. And you were wearing quite the mom jeans then.
Oh, yes. And I remember it was supposed to be that I had met a guy in the park that I liked, you know, as I do.
All the time. God, back then, that was where we found you.
And, and then it was supposed to be embarrassing. His dog wouldn't stop and sniffing. That's why it was hilarious. It was hilarious. Yeah, but they could not get the dog to be attracted to me. What?
Even with liverwurst. Wow.
Could you?
How do we get from catheters to that?
Right. And bacon. Actually, and bacon. They put little bits of bacon in my zipper as well.
Mm.
Yeah. Bacon hanging from my zipper. Can't get a lab.
Going to attract more than dogs with that, probably.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
Okay. All right. Could you take your organ out, please, for the Ecclesiastes?
Right away.
Oh, already? Already the organs? You're wagging the organ in my face this early?
No catheters, though.
Nope.
Well.
All right. Jay Allen in Moore, Oklahoma, actually writes, does God really hate Oklahoma? Steph, I live 17 streets away from where the tornado hit Monday afternoon in Moore, Oklahoma. I've heard several people saying that because we've turned our back on God, he's punishing us. I've heard this on your program from a caller and from my neighbors. Here's how I look at it. Oklahoma has a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. Perhaps God is punishing us for not loving our neighbors like we should. And so he's making us come together. So to speak.
As it were. Well, he's got a funny way of doing it because there's lots of folks in Oklahoma who do support marriage equality who are hurt by tornadoes, too. So I don't really think...
That's I don't get by the whole God... Because then their God is a jerk, isn't he? Really?
Well,
like, God thinks like some school kid's got to die?
Yeah, but that's the fundamentalist God. It's
the Old Testament God.
It's the drunken, angry step God. You know, it's not the God of love that Jesus talked about. It's the guy who's like, you know, the Old Testament Jesus believed in God. Like, back then they thought God was a presence. You want to experience him, you go out and you live and you party and you work hard and you be a mensch and you're a good person. When the Greeks translated it, they believed in the invisible, angry Zeus step God in the sky throwing down lightning bolts when he was in a bad mood. And that's what colored the whole Judeo-Christian idea of what the deity concept was supposed to be. So you get douchebags blaming very, very natural weather phenomena on an angry God who's mad about what people do with their peepees. And in reality,
we are Sparta.
God doesn't hate Oklahoma, but politicians in Oklahoma hate government. Mm-hmm. And they could have spent the money to build more adequate shelters for people. I mean, you know, it's easy to second guess what people could have done and what government could have done to protect people. They had a 16-minute warning. 13 minutes is the average. Mm. But really, you know, there's nothing more unholy than trying to use natural disasters to further your own mean, fake Christian beliefs.
Yep. John, how about how the new Pope is poping? He actually came out and
big
said
poping.
That, right, he's embraced atheists. He said they have, you know, doing good is the important thing, which puts him to the left of atheism, Wolf Blitzer on atheism, by the way.
Indeed. right to the left. He's to the left of a lot of Catholics at this point. The sad thing is, he believes atheists can go to heaven, but he doesn't believe women who are Christian can go to priest school. And that's the problem with this guy. He still sucks on the women issue, sucks on the gay issue. You know, it was so moving seeing him kiss a Muslim female convict's feet on Easter Sunday. That's the real thing. But you want to help the poor? Sell a painting. Sell a statue. Gee, you can do it. You're not into that stuff, Francis. Come on.
Yeah, I was just actually at the Vatican. Remember, I went to my trip last year to Italy. And
I do.
It really is. I mean, to actually, if you ever get a chance to see it, John, it really is stunning, the amount of wealth. And then literally the people right outside, you know, the Vatican, just, you know, literally lepers and poor and starving and, you know, disabled. And
Any questions?
Yeah, any questions, people?
Yeah, it's really sad, and it's really preventable. And again, it's like, you know, everything that you don't like about the Catholic Church, that's not the Christian thing. That's the Rome thing. That's the ancient Roman Empire. You don't like all that opulence and wealth. You don't like all that buggering of teenage boys. That ain't the Jesus part. That's the Rome part. And a little bit of the Roman Empire has been kept alive behind those castle walls, and it's a bit creepy. I like this guy Francis a lot. It's really cool that he's being cool to atheists, and he's right. You know, if you're someone who doesn't believe and you lead a Christ-like life, well, that's all you got to do, man. There's plenty of some of the most moral people I know are atheists, and there's some of the most evil people I know are Christians.
There you go.
He's on the right track, but it's like the no knob, no job. Sorry, ladies, come on, get off it. Allow married priests, drop the homophobia, and respect women, and then you got a church that can compete.
All right, John Fugel saying, let's relive the Wolf Blitzer moment together, shall we?
Well, we're happy you're here. You guys did a great job, and I guess you got to thank the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Do you thank the Lord for that split second decision?
I'm actually an atheist.
Oh, you are. All right, don't talk to me. But you made the right call.
Yeah, yeah. We are here, and you know, I don't blame anybody for thanking the Lord.
Of course not. So.
Did I just hear a guy from CNN ask someone if they thank the Lord? It's like you work for Time Warner. You got to thank Satan for your job, man.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I used that time I might have wasted praying. It was skedaddling out of there.
It was like the separation of church and news.
It was like, do you thank the Lord? Do you? Well, do you?
What's wrong with you? You want to be part of the club, don't you? You want to be one of the cool kids, don't you? Or are you chicken? Or are you going to hell?
Oh, well, this is awkward. Kathy and
great TV.
Kathy in Albuquerque, you're on with John. Hi, Kath.
Hi. You guys have such a funny show this morning.
Thank you.
And John, I love your show Viewpoint.
Thank you. Yeah, you're
a
great job.
I have a couple points. It's a great show. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Fox or anybody, for that matter, is not embarrassed to trot out Rumsfeld's critique of foreign policy of Barack Obama. It's just amazing to me that they're not embarrassed about this.
Yeah.
And also that point on that lady in London. I mean, she is so incredibly brave. I am such a coward.
Isn't she?
I would have run away.
I know.
And she reminds me of the lady that tried to use her purse to knock out a gun. I mean, I know this lady was more brave than London, but it's just brave. I just can't believe it.
You know who I want her to marry? I want her to marry the McDonald's guy in Cleveland, who, by the way, he gets free McDonald's for a year.
Yeah, you know, that's not the reward he deserves.
Charles Ramsey.
Kind of a death sentence.
Yeah. Why did McDonald's decide to punish his arteries?
I said he should have gotten an endorsement deal. But we already were writing it, right, Jim? He could be doing all these superhero stunts like holding a Big Mac.
And all auto-tuned.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. Charles Ramsey, the man who famously put down his Big Mac to help rescue, reluctantly.
Yeah. Right? Chris Christie wanted to ban him from the state for that.
Yeah. To help rescue this free woman held captive for years in Cleveland, will get free McDonald's for the next year, a company spokesman.
I'm going to talk to Morgan Spurlock about that.
Give him a commercial. He's also been promised free burgers for life at more than a dozen Cleveland area restaurants. Charles Ramsey, who I'm just saying is our own.
Something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Yeah. They gave away. Yeah, give away. My neighbor got big testicles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have the flu. If that girl was in that house, she said, please help me get out. Yeah, give away. Yeah, give away.
I loves him. All right.
That'd be a karaoke favorite.
17 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Fugel Slang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Too Weird, Man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
One, two, three, four, get your
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, John Fuse.
When I was your age, I had to support 3 online revenue streams just to make ends meet.
Thank you, Grampy. That was my favorite moment of the Apple executive tax grilling when John McCain said, "Why do I have to keep updating my apps?"
Yeah.
That was awesome. Oh, Grampy.
Takes a minute or two.
Old man shakes fist at iCloud.
Oh, God. A woman can never love a man who refuses to update his apps.
Toby in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Toby.
Oh, hiya. Technically, I'm outside of Atlanta. How you doing? And hi, John. John has recently commented on a few of my comments on Facebook. So he recently said I have hang-ups about the Bible. But anyway, that's just a
side note. What prompted it?
Well, I was saying that the Jesus character in the Bible isn't really very peaceful, and you were saying that's not true.
Listen. The Bible is like Occupy Wall Street or the Tea Party. You'll get out of it whatever you want to get out of it. I mean, if you want to find him being a warlike guy, you'll see it. If you want to find him being a peaceful guy, you'll see it. But we can talk about
the Godfather, you know? I mean,
yeah. He is actually on the record as being heavily nonviolence.
Okay. Well, we can just disagree then, respectfully. But anyway, I was going to call up. I was going to say about what do you guys think about the use of the term Muslim in the whole discourse about the war on terrorism? I think like it's not really very helpful. Like the Code Pink lady saying, you know, Obama, stop killing the Muslims. You know, they're not being killed because of their religion. You know, it's not like they're a racial group. It just, I mean, a lot of them they're motivated by Islam. But do you know what I mean? Like we're not going after them because they're Muslim. But we're going after them, and I don't totally agree with everything that America does in its foreign policy. But there are some problems with that. But it's just important to note that people aren't being killed because of their religion.
Yeah, of course
they're
not.
Being killed, right. They're not being targeted for that. So I think it would help things to make that distinction, make it clear. Muslims per se.
But you know, John, I thought that was a perfect example to the world of American freedom of speech. Right, the president let her speak that long.
From Ralph Nader's running mate. Yeah, I mean, Medea Benjamin's been on my show a few times, and people who are familiar with left-wing activism know who she is. And
right. But, you know, I mean, he let her speak, and I thought that was extraordinary, and he
never
answered
seen
her.
Never seen anything like it.
Yeah, and he was respectful. He was like, that woman raises some good points.
Yep. I mean, she raised very good points, and she was right about a lot of what she said.
Can you imagine George Bush? He just made a stupid, snarky joke, and she would have been, you know...
And then she would have been thrown
out.
She would not have been. She wouldn't have been allowed in the building because George Bush invented free speech zones,
right.
Where free parts of America where free speech is freely allowed. Ten blocks away from where the president is.
Yeah, exactly. Lisa in Houston. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
First, I want to say this lady was very disrespectful. You can say what you want to, but there's a way in which you address the president. Mm-hmm. And everything she was trying to tell him, he was trying to tell her, was in his speech.
Yeah.
And when
he was trying to answer all the things she was talking about.
And when she said that he is chief of, he is commander in chief and he could let him out today, that was an out and out lie. He cannot let him out today. But anyway, I called her because we cannot allow people who destroy to use an excuse for those drones. As the president said yesterday, those people over there, those radical people who are thrusting for power, kill more of their own than they ever will Americans. And so they're not using it as a drone is not making them blow up a school bus or blow up their own people in their community who don't share their views. So they can use drone as a way of telling us, oh, don't come get us, or the reason we're doing this is because of y'all. But let's face the fact, drones weren't around as much when Bill Clinton was in office, but we had embassies being blown up. Mm-hmm. We had our buildings try to come over here and blow up. So we cannot let them just get away with saying it's the drone. It has a lot to do with them also. And this morning, I don't know if you know it, a plane from Pakistan went in, was headed into England, and it had 300 people on it, and they had to divert it. So we can't just look at us and say we're the ones. Those guys are bad, too.
Yeah. All right, Lisa. Points well taken. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's the far right wing fundamentalists on all religions that are keeping life really interesting for the rest of us. You know, it's like when our atheist friends say, "Oh, religion's responsible for all the wars and rapes and crime." Well, no, not all religion. Most liberal, progressive, moderate, and conservative religious folks get along just fine right
it's
now.
It's the whack jobs in the religion.
The far right wing fundamentalist Christians, Muslims, and Jews continue to make the freak show very interesting for the rest of us in our front row seats.
Cindy in Nevada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I want to talk about the IRS thing. You know, those ninnies in Congress who are trying to blame the president for all this, you know, Tea Party is party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
They're an apolitical social welfare org.
Of course they
are. Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what I've been saying all week, John. That's the real scandal, isn't it? Like, really? Who's pretending they're doing any kind of social welfare?
And as long as the panties are wadded, Emerge America was a liberal 501c4 group that applied for tax-exempt status.
Right.
They actually, unlike every Tea Party group, Emerge America lost their tax-exempt
right.
status. They were forced to pay more taxes. They were forced to reveal their donors. This didn't happen to a single conservative group,
right.
my friends.
Yeah.
Right, and they were not held up. We were saying they were able to operate as if they had tax-exempt status. So, that's the thing, is there, once again, no they're there, right?
Well, the most hilarious part of the argument, and again, no one should be scrutinized, but if you don't like it, conservatives, thanks Citizens United, the same reason Romney was able to buy the nomination of your party last year. Citizens United is the bad guy here, because now an understaffed IRS is being flooded by these political groups hiding money, claiming to be social welfare organizations, so they don't have to pay any taxes. It's a racket, and it's a government-sponsored, Supreme Court-created racket.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the bottom line of it all is, none of these groups should be allowed to be tax-exempt, liberal or conservative. And again, all it means is a little bit of extra paperwork. It was wrong to single out conservative groups, but we had the former head of the IRS on our show this week, and they are understaffed. They were
not ready for the flood
of new groups.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back more Fridays with Bugle Say on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Word.
Stephanie Miller.
You make me sick.
Well, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, Fridays with John Feeblesang in the New York Bureau, hosting the Viewpoint television show every evening here on the Current Television Network, doing a spectacular job.
Thank you.
A lot of fun. All right.
I want to get you on my show, Stephanie. When are you coming to New York?
New York?
When
no time that
York?
I know of. New York spit me out like a bad kidney.
Ah,
rejected
all right. Well, then, would you come on my show?
I would love to if I can.
Would you be willing to make the schlep to be on satellite? I'll give you two segments.
You're kind and generous.
I didn't want to get you on the show. I'll do anything. Yeah, well, you know, you've had me on your show all the time. I want to show off to my friends.
Oh, boo boo. Kelly
we'll
in West
Virginia. So
Kelly in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kel.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I've just returned from my yearly pilgrimage to the CSA, the Confederate States of America. And we usually fly down to Sanibel because I have a winter home there. But this year we decided to drive because we were, well, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, if you've been getting too many trolls from Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, or Florida, it could be my fault.
Uh-oh.
Because all the way down and all the way up, every bathroom wall that was appropriate, I put your name and phone number on.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you, Kelly.
We also created the Stephanie Miller drinking game.
Oh, really?
Yes. We're all early risers, so since we were on vacation, well, my husband and I were celebrating our 15th anniversary this year and had lots of friends in. So we would sit around by the pool and watch you in the morning, and every time we heard the earwax guy,
right,
we would stand up with a shot in our hands, scream out, Zoogledot, test the shot, slam the glass down, and say, I am mother.
So next time you're watching it on that the DVR, make it a drinking
Love
game.
You guys. All right, Kelly. Happy Memorial Day.
Have a good one. Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day.
Zubabub, I am mother.
Yes. Slam.
Turn the schlock around.
Zubidot. All right. John, I don't know how you've been doing with that story, but I don't want there to be a new wrinkle because there will be a slew of new Russian names that I have to pronounce.
Oh, God, it's so terrible.
Yes, it is really.
Yeah. Well, and your name's not Fuglesang. I'm not allowed to get anybody's name wrong ever.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, have the kids sing along. Why not? Have a shot on us. Here we go. And...
So we had a complaint yesterday. We didn't get to the scatting.
I think we should thank Ariel Castro for guaranteeing that Jokar is not the most unpopular name for boys next year.
Jokar Jihadi, as they call him on the front page of the New York Post.
Oh, God.
Did you see that?
Jokar and, yeah, I did. Oh, yeah. How can I miss the New York
Post?
He
is teenage girl follower fan something on Instagram or wherever.
He's Jokar, he's a Tokar, he's a Midnight Smokar.
Exactly. Or Bob Tokar, in Virginia, you're on with John. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Steph. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
It's an honor to be on with you, the fellers, and John Fuglesang.
Yes.
Excuse me. On the topic of all things Republican, I was just wondering, in the future, I'm a Democrat, I'm liberal, I'm from Virginia, which is odd, but anyway, should we have future elections and we get a Republican president, again, God forbid, or a Republican Senate, will they change all the laws, the set policies, and, you know, go back and, God forbid, if you're African-American, they may try to enslave you again, you know, they may decide they need that help, you know, again. And on the
they don't need to.
I'm just wondering, I mean, it's really scary. Should we have another election and we get a Republican president? I'm more nervous than watching those red-handed guys in England. I mean, these Republicans are just out there. So what do we do as liberals to, you know, make sure they don't stop us at the vote? I know we have to wait in line long hours and, you know, to keep trying, but it's scary. I used to vote for somebody who I thought was best for our country. Now I just vote for somebody who's sane, who's usually the Democrat, obviously. So I just thought, you know, I'd make that comment.
Yeah.
Maybe it's obvious. I don't know.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. Well, I mean, John, I don't know what you think. I thought the president's speech was pretty great yesterday.
I thought it was pretty great. I would have liked more specifics. There's a lot he didn't address. You know, Medea Benjamin was right. I mean, we killed a 16-year-old. You know, they don't want to talk about it. And the problem with drones is the stuff that Obama didn't talk about, that we lie about the use of the word imminent in our policy. We lie about the use of the word militant in our policy. Any male killed in a drone strike over age 18 is counted as a militant, and that's why defense keeps the civilian death count so low, because they just say they weren't civilians.
Hmm.
And, you know, this stuff doesn't make us more popular. And these are the points I would have liked to have heard the president address. I like that we're winding down the stupid war on terror. I liked the speech. You know, I loved how he talked. But there's a few specifics that still weren't addressed, and I think he gets it, but I do think he's caught between what he wants to do and the realities of the national security state.
Let's go to Dave in Long Beach on drones. Hi, Dave.
I have no jokes for that, by the way.
No, I know. Yikes. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi,
go ahead. Regarding the caller earlier who said it's regrettable that the son was killed with the father, sorry, my friend, the son was killed in a separate drone strike.
It was a separate strike, and he had gone there to find his father.
Wow.
So regarding the drone policy, I think along with what John just said, the bar has to be set a little higher than somebody who looks at us funny.
Well, I think it is. I mean, I think they laid out, you know, what
it is.
It
is set higher.
John, don't you? I mean, I think that was part
Absolutely.
Of what, you know, what yesterday was about was, you know, redefining this. And I think it allayed some concerns. But, you know, look, as the president said, these are tough issues. They are.
Yeah.
I mean,
and there's no doubt the guy's light years better than the Bush-Cheney administration. The problem is, it's not different enough, and it's our job to hold his feet to the fire because he asked us to.
Yep.
You know, that's our job, is to keep pressuring the good guys because we know the bad guys won't listen to us.
I'll call for the ecclesiastical MOOC. Maria, in Chicago, you're on with John.
Good morning, Mama. How are you guys?
Hello.
I am your not so subtle stalker of the sexy liberal comedy tour. I've been to five.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember
I think you.
You
remember me.
Yes.
Yes. So yes, I wanted to talk about the Pope.
We drank with you, and Stephanie and I had a drink with you in Madison.
Yes, you
did. And
yeah,
it was
a meet and greet. I remember
and
that. Yeah.
I was all googly-eyed and starry-eyed and trying to, like, just act like I've been there before. It was entirely too delightful.
We took her cell phone. It was nice.
It was lovely. So about the Pope, what he said about, you know, getting into heaven, I couldn't believe how angry it made me. First of all, I didn't know that heaven was like a VIP club and you could just kind of like pull back the red velvet rope and just, oh, you know what? I've got a big hat. I'm going to let some people in. I didn't know that that was the case. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a passage in the Bible that says, judge not lest ye be judged. And that kind of goes both ways. Not like you're going to hell, but also, oh, let's go ahead and let these people into heaven. So that was, I found, just annoying. And then secondly, if you're a Catholic or if you subscribe to any religion in general, based on the notion of, hey, you know what, I'm going to do this so I get into heaven, you're a jerk.
Yep.
Like, do those things because you should do them. Be a good person.
Right, but isn't that partly what he was saying, that it's important to be a good person? That wasn't he being inclusive of atheists?
I thought it was being awesomely inclusive of atheists.
Yeah.
I misunderstood, but it seemed to me like he was saying it like, well, you know, Catholics, don't get angry because we're going to let the atheists in too, but if they're good people, they get to go to heaven. It seemed like it was a means to an end, not necessarily like,
I think
because it's the right thing to do.
Well, I think what annoyed you was that it seems like he thinks he has the eminence to be able to say he knows who gets to heaven and who doesn't get to heaven.
That he's the bouncer, right?
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah, and I don't know that he was. I don't know that he was saying it, but I give him a pass on this one because it was really. When have you ever heard a Pope saying anything nice about atheists? It was totally positive.
Yeah. And Mario, maybe I didn't hear him correctly because maybe you need an earwax removal system.
Ow!
Ow!
Ooh. All right, just think about it. You're getting sleepier. Watch the commercials. Hack in Tulsa, you're on with John. Hi, Hack.
Steph, my subtle lady, sapphic siren, how are
yes,
you?
Yes, hello. Yes.
Question that has to be on every left-winger's mind. Zubidats or Nyev and Orly Tate, separated at birth?
Right, right. Coinkydink, I think not. Let me finish. I am mother. Okay.
I'm going to tell Amnesty International you're being mean to terrorists.
All right. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear this? Debbie Reynolds says we all knew Liberace was gay. What?
Shocking. Dogs knew Liberace was gay.
I think got past her. She plays his mother, Frances, in the new movie. I can't wait to see it, John, Behind the Candelabra.
Steven Soderbergh made a cable movie. It's amazing.
On HBO.
And did you know that he would sue people if they said he was gay?
He perjured himself on the stand.
Yes,
he
did.
I am not gay. I have never been gay. I've never been gay.
Let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
I only wear chinchilla undershorts.
That's not Liberace.
Because they don't chafe. Exactly. I love the story. Debbie Reynolds was in his inner circle when they both had shows in Vegas. She said, I tell the story when Lee called me one night after work. I was at the Desert Inn. He was at the Hilton. He said, Debbie, I'll pick you up after the show. We'll take Tom Jones. It's his birthday. I would have given anything to be a fly on the wall, is all
wow,
I'm saying.
Yeah. Awesome.
And she said, I've never had a better time than being Liberace's date. But we all knew he was
well,
sexual.
Really? Being married to Eddie Fisher wasn't more fun than that?
Who can say? Who can say? And so we were saying, we were doing some fun facts. Because, you know, John, the kids don't know a lot about the Liberace.
It's really tragic. I was just a kid when he died, sadly enough.
He died in 87.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he died
I was a teenager.
In Palm Springs.
I was 18.
But this is sad. He weighed 80 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't want to be remembered as an old queen who died of AIDS. He told his younger lover, who is in the movie, Scott Thorson.
Well, I remember the lawsuit after that. Yeah.
Right. Liberace's doctors dutifully announced the cause of death was heart failure, only for the Palm Springs coroner to intercept the hearse en route to the cemetery. I'd forgotten that. A week later, it was announced he had died of pneumonia brought on by AIDS.
Yeah.
More importantly, he was buried in a wig.
Here at Forest Lawn.
Right.
Like right over here.
Right. Right. boy. Anyway, so it looks really good, though. It looks
terrific.
Yeah.
Steven Soderbergh made a cable movie. Come on, it's awesome. It's like one of the best living directors. And
he's not making regular movies anymore.
No, he's not even making films. He's shooting everything on digital video.
Yeah.
So it's exciting all
it's
around.
Pretty good.
All right.
Yeah,
Michael Douglas not playing Michael Douglas. It's very exciting.
All right, we'll talk about what a douche Jerry Lewis is after this. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Why don't they do what they say?
Of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com. 50 minutes after the hour, Fridays with John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you for getting me in before the end.
Yes.
I was trying to be funny, but the guy who called, who drinks to you, that was way too funny.
Right.
I'm never going to top that. But I just want to say, with this, I think it's been a very thoughtful discussion about what the role of drones are, you know, and the kind of collateral damage. And I have the utmost, I think there's really good arguments to be made and discussed.
Right.
But the real danger is the Republican Party. I mean, you, honestly, you have Republicans have been ordered to stay away from any legislation and to just focus on scandals. Boehner admitted that. That letter's been released. They're going to distract, deflect, and not solve America's problems.
Mm.
What, destroying us from within is much more dangerous. And then you have people like Ike, who knew a full year ago about the IRS scandals because they've been keeping him informed from the beginning.
Yep.
And then they try to scandalmonger. And these people are causing more trouble. You had a bridge go down in Washington State yesterday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know,
a big government bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, now the kids in the chat room want me to curse, but I'm not going to do
don't
it.
Don't do it. You kids.
Have a long, great weekend.
All right, you too.
I don't know about
it.
You, but when I see the people that killed Acorn and tried to kill Planned Parenthood and tried to kill PBS complaining that the government's targeting one of their groups, oh, I get so angry.
Aw. Jerry in Chicago. Hey, Jer.
Hello. Love the show today. I just wanted to bring up a point that seems conspicuously absent from all the discussions on gun violence, and that is that it's tied largely to the drop in crime in the 90s. It's tied largely to the Roe versus Wade protection of abortion and reproductive rights.
Right.
And it's, I mean, if I didn't mention, this is thoroughly fleshed out in the book Free Comics. You can look it up. And it's one of the reasons that I joined NARAL, and I feel that protecting women's rights and access to abortion is one of the most important things we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see that, Jerry, Trent Franks had that press conference on his latest anti-abortion bill, and it's all men.
Yeah.
The entire just tableau of men.
Makes me so angry because no one is pro-abortion. No one has ever been pro-abortion. We are pro-women's reproductive rights. And there's a reason why in last spring's Gallup poll, only 43% called themselves pro-choice, but 77% of Americans supported abortion in all or some cases. We don't have an abortion problem. We have an abortion symptom to an unwanted pregnancy problem. And when we can solve that and get together, conservatives and liberals, and solve the unwanted pregnancies, you'll see your abortion symptom become a lot less problematic.
Yeah, absolutely. By the
way,
you
can't be anti-abortion and also anti-contraception. That's
exactly right. No, and no biblical support for either. I got into trouble for a commentary. God is the least pro-life character in the Bible. Not a fan of babies when you read the book.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, speaking of women haters,
what?
Jerry Lewis repeats his distaste for female comics.
Ladies! Play me, guys!
Yeah, it's hard to top that for comedy.
I like you, fine.
I only say funny because Dean Martin was next to me!
Stop it hurting! You think you play.
The last good movie I made was a drama! 30 years ago!
Asked who his favorite female comics were Thursday at the Cannes Film Festival, he listed Cary Grant and Burt Reynolds. Was that supposed to be a joke?
That's actually kind of funny. If you're going to go misogynist, go all the way, man.
I guess awesome.
So. Yeah.
He said, I don't have any. In 1998, he famously said, watching women do comedy sets me back a bit, and he has trouble with the notion of would-be mothers as comedians. Asked if he changed his mind at all because of performers like Melissa McCarthy and Sarah Silverman. He said of the women performing broad comedy, I can't see women doing that. It bothers me.
Yeah, well, maybe Tina Rainey could give him a job sometime.
Who's that?
Maybe Tina Fey or Amy Poehler
could
give him a job sometime.
So he can actually be funny. Yeah, who did me? All right.
Stop with the ladies and the funny and the thing.
By the way, my hero,
it's
Carol Burnett.
It's very funny he's had to say that in France, by the way. Go on.
Maybe he can tell that to Carol Burnett, who's about to get my hero in life, of course, getting the Mark Twain Award for comedy. Which, by the way, aren't they a little late? Shouldn't they just give her all the rest of them?
Yeah, yes. It seems like they should have done this a long time ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just saying.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. You was right.
Right, they should give her several, so a bag of them. Just saying. All right.
Better than a bag of glass. Vapors.
All right. How much do I love stories about Faye Dunaway? I just do.
Oh.
Faye Dunaway stands up the royals of Brunei. She stood up the royal family at Serendipity 3. The star was to meet with them who had been in talks to fund a film for her. Awesome. But she called to say she was running late, announcing, "This is Faye Dunaway, the actress. I need to speak to the prince."
Oh.
She is so awesome, and I bet she had a message for him.
Tear down that bitch of a bearing wall and put a window where it ought to be.
Wasn't the last story we did was her going ape dump at a Kookaroo? Something about her chicken not being skinless or something?
Yeah.
Norma Desmond told her to tone it down a bit.
Yeah. Tear down this bitch of a skin.
Probably
everywhere. Where it ought to be.
Everywhere she calls. This is Faye Dunaway, the actress.
From what?
I don't know. It's just what she announced when she called Serendipity 3.
What was the last thing she acted in?
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem.
Don Juan DeMarco?
That's the last movie she was in that anybody saw. And that's a good movie.
Oh, everybody. Bubba Wallace's daughter was a West of Fatima Y.
Uh-oh.
Was she partying with John Boyega's new son-in-law?
Did you see the picture of John Boyega's son-in-law? Then the story was that he was caught with weed in his car. I'm like, looking at him, I would be surprised if he wasn't caught with weed in his car.
Yeah, but you know what's cool about that? His daughter's 35. She's not some kid trying to punish daddy. Like, they seem to really love each other. And Boehner apparently was at the funeral, at the wedding. And,
Freudian
slip. Well, I mean, they were serving alcohol.
Depending on how you feel about marriage,
right? They were serving alcohol, so Boehner showed up. But my God, the one thing I want most for my country is for John Boehner to start hanging out with a guy who can give him weed, because that could change the entire economy.
Yeah.
If John Boehner started being nice and laid back and giving up the
new daddy, John Fugel, saying, here's what you have to look forward to. Mark Wahlberg says his son loves to punch him in the nuts.
Oh, really?
What?
He said, of course they're nice kids, but my four-year-old always tries to punch me in the nuts. Sometimes he gets me and I'm not looking, and it really hurts.
That's because fans of Planet
of the Apes. Kids are so fun.
Fans of Planet of the Apes, the original Planet of the Apes, paid his son to punch him in the nuts.
All right, Jim, yes. Arnold Maria might not be over yet.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be back.
I'll be back.
Maybe the marriage is not terminated.
It's nature.
I think he's tried those lines on her. Maybe that's what it is. They're in no rush to get divorced. Two lines of speculation. Either they're so rich it doesn't matter, or they may actually get back together.
Consider this a divorce?
They're worth $400 million, which they've agreed to split down the middle.
Yeah.
Other sources say there's a different reason they've gotten divorced when they're not done with each other. And that there's a chance they'll still get back together.
Well, their daughter just graduated school in D.C., and a friend of mine ran into them in a club the other night.
In a club?
Like a restaurant, you know.
Oh, okay.
And said they seem to be doing very well and getting along very well.
Wow.
And things of this nature.
You don't need to know what sort of things.
All right. That's it for, we need a vacation. I'm going to take a three-day vacation is what I'm going to do.
Me too.
John Fugel saying we love you.
Have a great weekend and happy Memorial Day, everyone.
You too. We will see you Tuesday. Great best of on Monday. See you Tuesday live on the Stephanie Miller Show.